I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, September 19th, 2022, and this is episode 264 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the black and blue San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and joining me as usual is Eric Nathanson. Hey, have you recovered from that brutal beatdown?
Oh my God, last night was the worst night. The Dodgers beat the Giants in extra innings. The Bears got beat by the Packers. I don't have any other rivalries to lose. You know, I can't lose to the team I hate the most. So, no, I'm still not recovered from last night. Not at all. It was a double on the chin, but that's all right. And like you said, the Giants are black and blue. We don't give them any orange this time. How are things back in California right now?
In California. Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked about it last podcast because, of course, my Niners played your Bears, and the Bears got that victory, of course, and the Giants won that day too. So you were sitting at 2-0, and now against the bitter rivals, the Packers and the Dodgers, the flip happened, and now you're sitting on the other side of the coin.
This week was way more realistic than last week. I'm just gonna say that. I've been a fan of the Giants and the Bears a long time, and neither team ever, you know, they always disappoint me, both teams. So yeah, yesterday was normal.
Yeah, it was normal. It was like back to expectations, right? Because like last week was up here. No, the Niners, hey, look, you know, it was one of those things where I said it on this podcast. I said it with my friends. I said that Jimmy Garoppolo, through like injury or replacement, whatever, is going to be starting by week 6 or 7. Okay, a little earlier than that. But Trey Lance, of course, with that horrific ankle injury, yeah, his leg doesn't bend that way. And
no,
boy,
oh my God,
I'm
did you see the picture?
I did.
Oh, that was ugly.
I did. And it was really interesting. There's this, I didn't know about this guy, but there's this sports orthopedist who has a YouTube channel. And what he does is he like immediately jumps on YouTube and breaks down what he thinks are the possible injuries, like within an hour or half an hour of those injuries happening. So it's kind of cool. So he did it with Trey Lance while the game was still going on, and he had like 3D graphics and the replay, and he was circling everything with a telestrator. And of course he can't diagnose it, but he's like, in my opinion, with the evidence that's available, I think that his leg went this way and he probably suffered a broken ankle, an inversion break, and he's going to need surgery and the season's going to be over. He was like spot on. He was precisely there. And yeah, when I saw that video, cause someone tweeted it out, I was like, yeah, it looked like a break. It was nasty. So he's gone for the year. the Trey Lance era lasted 5 quarters, and now Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be leading the Niners. And you know what happened in Vegas? The odds of the Niners winning the Super Bowl went up.
So it shows you that. Went down technically, but yes.
Right. Their odds. Yeah, to win it are better.
Their odds improved. Absolutely.
I thought that was interesting.
So I thought of you when it happened. I'm like,
because
oh, no,
I thought that myself. I was like, okay, Vegas knows where the money's at, and even they're like, yep, they got a better chance now of winning with Jimmy G. Anyway, sorry. Again, we're opening up the podcast with football talk, and I know that
just
only
a note
half
of
you care about.
Just a note of caution with bettors, though. Vegas did that so that you would spend more money betting on the 49ers because they knew people were not going to be spending money betting on the Niners with Trey Lance back there. So that's the main reason why Vegas.
That is the main reason.
Down.
Very true. Hey, Mike Dowling joins us. Hi, Mike. How you doing? Good to see you again. Sorry, we started with football talk. But here we are here to talk Giants baseball. And look, we were hoping the last couple of weeks, we said, hey, maybe they can get hot and try to get to 500, you know. I think that ship has sailed at this point. They started the week off well.
They started out good.
Yeah.
Right, two out of three. They were on their way.
And it was like, okay, and we knew dreaded Atlanta was coming. We talked last week. We were hoping they were going to go 4-2, but we knew that was going to be hard, especially against the Dodgers and the Braves. But it started well, and then, yeah, it just went in the can. Unfortunately, the Giants got pretty well waxed on the first two games of the series. And then, of course, last night it went to extra innings. And it was just one of those. It was like a microcosm of the Giants season. It's just like everything that could go wrong did go wrong for the Giants last night, because they could have had that game several ways to Sunday. They had a couple of ground rule doubles that would have scored Estrada if they weren't ground rule doubles. And then, of course, in the 10th inning, the Giants, you know, look, they crapped the bed themselves. They allowed a, you know, an early run with a single. Okay, that happens with a runner on second. But then they walked in. They intentionally walked a guy and then walked the next guy to walk in a run. And you're just like, really? And it was three straight balls to start the at-bat, too. It was 3-0. And then it was a strike and then the fourth ball. And you're like, guys, you're not helping yourselves here. And then so they go down 4-2 in the 10th. They immediately score. They eventually load the bases. But right prior to that, Josh Peterson hit a 396-foot ball to almost dead center to the Death Valley there, and Mookie Betts ran it down. It would have been a home run in 17 parks. So, I mean, you know, half the other stadiums, it would have been a walk-off three-run bomb. And then, of course, Lamont Wade Jr. comes up with the bases loaded, and then he hits a foul grand slam. It was very reminiscent of Game 5 last year, it felt like to me, right?
Good point.
Very reminiscent. It was night game. He hit a foul home run. And it was just like, oh. And then he ended up grounding out. But he actually hit that ball fairly hard. But Freddie Freeman made a nice pick and threw over to the pitcher covering. And it was the end of the game. So it was one of those games, again, it was frustrating. And
yeah, well, my biggest gripe was Jock Peterson came up in the bottom of the eighth inning with runners on first and second and nobody out. Jock Peterson, the guy who hit the ball 396 feet two innings later, Jock Peterson bunted. He attempted to bunt. And not only did he bunt, with two strikes, he squared to bunt. What are you doing? You're a power hitter. You're paid to drive in runs. What are you bunting for in the bottom of the eighth with runners on base? I mean, J.D. Davis comes up next and he hits the double.
Yeah.
If Jock had just gotten a base hit, they would have taken the lead at that time. If Jock had moved the runners up, there's where you're talking about the ground rule double. If Jock had just, you know, grounded out to the second baseman but moved the runners up or flew out, or you know what I mean? Anything would have been a better outcome than trying to bunt with one of your best power hitters. And it bothers me. It really does. It was one of those moments where I said, okay, they're going to lose this game because of their approach.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's a microcosm of the season. Everything they tried to do, they absolutely failed at and failed spectacularly.
Yeah. In 2021, that's a guaranteed win. They win that game. They make it work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the mirror images, and it's gotten so bad that we were hoping that they would finish with a 500 or better record. They're going to have to go 12-4 just to finish 500. So, I mean, guys, look.
Not happening.
Is it possible? Yes. Likely? Heck no. They're now 8-9 in September, so now they have a losing month. And in fact, April, as it turns out, is the only winning month so far this year. And we would have never seen that coming. Last year, they had a winning record every single month of the year. And then they started this year. It was a continuation of last year. We were all excited about it. They had losing months in August and July as well. June was 500. But they did not have a winning month so far after April. And so that's why we're hoping September would kind of, you know, finish off on a positive note. They still can. They're 8-9 in the month. But what really hurts, Eric, is that our bitter rivals, the Giants, have always played them fairly well, no matter where each team is in the standings. And now with the Dodgers winning 9 out of the last 10 NL West titles and almost winning it last year, which is just crazy, I was looking at how bad it's gotten for the Giants. Now, you guys have probably seen, they went 4-15 against the Dodgers this year, including losing 13 of their last 14 games. That includes three sweeps, including 2 4-game sweeps in that time, which is just one home, one away. That's just brutal. The most losses ever to the Dodgers since they moved to San Francisco. The only other close season was 1977. They went 4-14. For some reason, they had 18 games instead of 19. But since they expanded the, I don't have the whole thing here, but since they expanded the unbalanced schedule to 19 games. You know, most of the seasons, like last year was 10-9. 2020 was 4-6 because of the COVID shortened season. 2019 was pretty bad at 7-12. And that's pretty much the worst that I've seen so far is 7-12 over the last 15 years. So they blew that out by 3 games, Eric.
I mean, the saving grace, and I promise you, all Giants fans out there, the Giants will not lose to the Dodgers 15 times last year. I 100% swear by it. I know for a fact it won't happen. So we don't have to worry about that happening again. It's just so ugly, though. Think about it. The Giants had a 3-2 lead over the Dodgers in the season series at one point.
Yeah.
A 3-2 lead.
Yep.
They lost the first two, and then they swept the Dodgers, and then that's pretty much it. And I mean, the Dodgers just – not only the Giants, they've stomped on the Padres' throat. I don't want to make this a Dodgers podcast, but frankly, I think they're the best team in baseball, and I'm hard-pressed to think any team is going to be able to hang with them this year. They have just absolutely taken off in another gear. I thought it was going to be the Yankees this year, but the Dodgers are just absolutely on fire right now. I mean, they're 101-44. With six, what is that? 101-44, 45, 17 games left for them.
Yeah.
They could finish with 110, 111 wins at the end of this.
Yeah, I think they're on track for 111 or something like that. They won 106 last year and finished second in the NL West. That's not happening this year. They already clinched.
And it was a club record.
Yeah, and it was a club record. So this year they're going to probably demolish it because they only have 5 more wins to tie it. So. Yeah, our only you know saving grace is just you know the playoffs can be a crapshoot and it's quite the gauntlet to run and they do get a first round bye, but they go right into the NLDS 5 games and I'm telling you you know we've seen them lose in the NLDS before, then they could still lose in the NLCS, they could still lose in the World Series. There's 3 chances to lose, Eric.
We're back to Schadenfreude.
That's so sad. I know. I think all of us Giants fans, even though I count their World Series in 2020 as legit because they still had to run the gauntlet of the playoffs. It was a full playoff run. And in fact, they had that elimination game in the beginning, which is scary as hell. And I know a lot of Giants fans are like, oh, that's a Mickey Mouse World Championship. Well, yeah, okay, it was a 60-game season, but the playoffs were just as long. So it's kind of like everybody was dealing with the exact same thing. So whatever. It is what it is. But if they do win the World Series this year, then a lot of those Giants fans and other fans cannot do that. They cannot say that anymore. So we're hoping that doesn't happen. So it is what it is. The Giants are just in another lower tier of baseball than the Los Angeles Dodgers right now. But they are in the stratosphere. And like you said, guaranteed they can't lose 15 next year because, of course, they
can't only do it.
12. But the Dodgers are going to be so freaking good, at least for the next 3 to 5 years, Eric. This is what sucks.
Yeah, but the Giants could be good. I mean, when you got a lineup with Aaron Judge and J.D. Davis and Jock, I'm just, you know.
So, Mike.
We'll get to that. We'll get
Mike is asking, not a good season, very disappointing. Where do they go from here, guys? They can go to another league, maybe.
Is relegation an option?
Yeah. Can they be relegated? can they go play in AAA? I don't know. What can they do?
No, they have, you know, and we'll get into this as the offseason comes up, but the Giants basically have an open checkbook this year. They really do. There's barely any money on the books. Wilmer is the only position player basically signed to a contract. Not, you know, other guys are arbitration eligible. That's different. Wilmer is the only one straight up signed. Listella is too, but we're going to see what happens there. And then when you go to the pitching, it's like Disco and Cobb are like the only ones under contract. So, you know, we'll talk about that when the offseason comes. But, you know, the Giants might have to spend their way out of it. And who knows if they'll be able to do that.
Yeah. So officially the Giants are 69-77, third place, 1 game up on Arizona. Neither team wants nice. Third place. So, hey, what are you going to do? But, hey, maybe they could stay at 69 and just kind of, you know.
Ride it out.
Why not? No pun intended. So, yeah, you know, it was great that they took 2 of 3 but from Atlanta, but it just leaves such a sour taste in our mouths that they finished the season series so poorly against the Dodgers. Clearly, just a different realm of baseball that the Dodgers are playing. Speaking of which, we were talking about Hunter Pence getting his, Wall of Fame induction against the Dodgers, and I think at the time when it was announced, we thought that was a pretty cool idea. Now, remember, the Wall of Fame, typically, they do the ceremony kind of in the off season, but they always do it on the street, like in front of the one of the gates. And so this was the first time a Wall of Fame player was inducted like in a pregame ceremony, which I thought was a great idea. You get the fans in the stands, he gets to talk to the fans, blah, blah, blah. Well, Eric, kind of what happened? What was the setting for poor Hunter Pence?
Well, it seemed that this happened to be the game that the Dodgers fans wanted to invade Oracle Park. And literally half of the stadium, if not more, was covered in blue. Now, it wasn't during the Hunter Pence ceremony. A lot of these Dodger fans stayed out of the park until it was over. But, like, it was great. It was so exciting. Hunter comes riding out on a scooter through this puff of smoke and riding around the warning track. And then the camera pulls out a little bit, and it's just a pocket of fans here, a pocket of fans there. You know, there's no roaring crowd for him because Dodger fans took over Oracle Park. Saturday was the day that, I don't know if Pantone 415 came up and took over. I don't even know if that's the right term. I know it's Pantone something. They came up. They usually come up once a year and take over the bleachers. And so I didn't know if this was the day that they decided to do that. My guess is Dodger fans ate up all the tickets on the secondary market because the Giants fans would be selling at this point. And the Hunter Pence announcement only came, what, like a month and a half ago? Yeah. So, any fans that wanted to get rid of their tickets were able to. And it was cool. It was a lot of fun. Hunter was everything, but the crowd's energy didn't match his because, you know, the stands were half full.
Yeah, let's see. I got this up for those on the stream. I hope it doesn't buffer out. It probably will. Yeah, I think it did.
Hunter Pence!
There we go. So for the audio listeners, I'm just playing some video of him coming out onto the field, on a scooter, of course. But for those of you watching live or in the video later, you can see, look at that, how empty the bleachers are there.
Seriously, it's just pockets of fans.
Yeah, and he's waving to the crowd. And look at all that blue, the fans that are there. Uh-huh. I mean, oh, look at that. Oh, it's so bad.
It shouldn't be that empty. Like, Hunter is an icon in San Francisco. I love Hunter more than I love so many other Giants players. No offense to them. But Hunter's just a guy who spoke to all of us. And to have that kind of a showing for his Wall of Fame ceremony, it just hurts.
Just blocks and blocks of green seats.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Like, the Will Clark retirement ceremony, it was almost fully packed. I was there for that. It was fantastic. And this was only 40 minutes before game time.
Yeah, it was a sellout.
Yeah, so. Oh, boo-hoo.
Well, it was such a... Okay, all right, we'll talk about Hunter here. Well, all right, first of all, Hunter deserved it. I think he deserved it. You know, they've gotten liberal on the rules, and I'm totally good with that. This guy was definitely a key part of two World Series, and I don't think anybody had an issue with that. What I did notice is, I don't know if you saw this. I think you did see this. We did talk about this briefly. During that Saturday game, when Hunter Pence was inducted into the Wall of Fame, there was a merchandise stand in the outfield that was selling all Dodger gear. And now I'm not just saying they were mixed in with Giant stuff or they were selling all 30 teams. It was like all Dodger gear. And my buddy Tyler Hall, he took a picture of it and it went viral, you know, him saying, what the F is this? And it seemed to cause some division between Giants fans this weekend. Like, a lot of people seemed upset, you know, how dare they? This is a slap in the face and yada, yada, yada. And I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know if you saw that this weekend. Personally, I don't care, and I'll get deeper into that as we talk about this a little bit. I don't care. Make your money. I mean, I get it. Merchandise is not a huge part of the payroll, but it's a capitalist society and a capitalist sport. Who am I to say no? You know? So, I mean, what were your thoughts on that? Did it surprise you, and did it anger you?
Yeah, I'm going to bring up a picture here. Here's Tyler. You're talking about.
That is Tyler's tweet.
Here.
Yep.
So, yeah, what in the actual F? This is inside Oracle Park. I do know where this is at. This is where they usually, like you said, sell the throwback gear. This is their official vendor since 2018. None of the Giants don't have direct control over it, but there's an image I'm showing online right now for the audio listeners of a permanent booth, fairly small one, but permanent, and it's all Dodgers gear. It's all Dodgers gear, various shades and colors. They got hats, they got sweatshirts, they got banners, it looks like. I've never seen this happen before inside the park. Look, as a fan, I'm pretty pissed about it. I know what you're saying. I understand your point of view, Eric, I do. But in the long run, it doesn't hurt anyone. It's just more of a gut punch. Like, things have gotten so bad, and the Dodgers are so good and so much better than the Giants right now, that this vendor, I'm sure, thought about the repercussions on social media. I'm sure they thought about the repercussions from Giants fans. But their pocketbooks, because he said it's a capitalist society, was like, we're just a vendor who works at Oracle Park. So we're going to sell what we think is going to sell more and make more money for us. And so they chose to do this. And I still think that's a, if you know, they didn't do this in the other Dodger series, apparently, according to sources. So if this was the first time they did it, why now? It just seems like odd. Like, if you did it every single series for all teams, I'd be like, okay, that's part of their marketing strategy. It's part of their income strategy. But to do this on a select weekend, in the last, you know, visit for the year, just strikes me as opportunistic and shitty. I don't like it. I really don't like it. Not against the law. But I will say, I wonder, despite what their contract situation is, is there going to be any slap on the wrist or any repercussions from the Giants towards this vendor? Because the Giants were questioned about it, and they had to release a statement saying they weren't in control of the inventory and what they sell. And they don't like the blowback from that. They don't like, because it looks like Oracle did it. It looks like the Giants permitted this, right? And it's not exactly the case. So, you know, to me, it really stinks. It doesn't affect anything in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, I'm thinking that this vendor is going to get either a stern talking to or not have their contract renewed or something of that sort, because I just don't think this should fly. I really don't. But it is what it is.
From what I read, they are chalking it up to a quote-unquote, mistake. And I don't think that's true. I don't buy that at all. Apparently, the vendor, Bon Appetit, they said that they didn't realize they weren't supposed to be doing this. I don't come from San Francisco. I don't come from being at Oracle all the time. So I don't necessarily know what the norm is, which I think is why I had less of a problem with this. Because I grew up going to Wrigley Field. I bought a Barry Bonds jersey at Wrigley Field. So to me, this doesn't seem out of the ordinary at all. I've been to Milwaukee where they'll sell Cubs gear. You know what I mean? I've been to Comiskey where they're selling Twins gear if the Twins are in town. You know, it's just part of the way teams run things. So that's why I really didn't have a huge problem with this. But from the reaction from the fans, it seems like Oracle has never done anything like this. And, you know, I got told very sternly, you know, I've been all over Oracle Park and I've never seen another team's gear and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, all right. But that's why I don't have as big of a problem with it, because I grew up in an area where it wasn't a problem. But, I mean, let's be fair. I also grew up going to Cubs games, and they sucked. So they needed to sell. I'm getting flipped off right here. So they needed to sell. They needed to sell other teams' jerseys just to, you know, probably break even. But, you know, that's why I didn't have as big of a deal. That's why I didn't mind it as much. Yeah, I make the capitalist comment, but that's always my joke when it comes to baseball. Yeah. You know, it is. It's the most capitalist sport in a capitalist society. You know, every other sport's got a salary cap and all those things built in. All the Giants, all the baseball has is a penalty. So it really is still capitalist. So I didn't have a problem with it in that sense. But I do, and I respect Giants fans for getting angry about it. I understand why they got angry about it. I was very much set straight yesterday on that front. And I get that. I don't want to say I'm wrong. Nobody's wrong in this respect.
This is just opinion. Yeah. Opinions. I mean, I'm upset about it. I'm not raging about it. I haven't tweeted about it. I'm just personally offended by it. You know, I don't like it. Yeah. But it says here in the article from Mercury News, it says, after a photo of the stand went mildly viral, the Giants said it was stocked in error and blamed a subcontractor, according to the Mercury News. We've spoken to Bon Appetit and have been reassured that selling Dodgers merchandise will not happen again in the future, end quote, the Giants told the Merc. So there you go. It was the first time this has happened, and I don't know how it's stocked in error. I hate quotes like that, you know?
Right.
That's bullshit. Stocked in error. You stock in error, like earlier this year they talked about them selling sweatshirts that said San Fran on it, and people were upset about that because it's like you do not say Frisco, or San Fran, right? Okay, maybe that was Stockton error. Okay, I get it. This is not error.
It's not an error.
This is not.
That's why it's such crap.
We put Dodgers gear. How did that happen? No, an error is like, right, you put out Cubs gear during a Dodger series. Like, that would be an error.
On, you know, the night that the Dodgers fans took over the stadium, they happened to sell Dodger gear. Yeah. That was a quote-unquote mistake.
Pure coincidence. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, the stuff was ordered. It was shipped. It was unboxed. It was put on the rack. And then it was sold. And everyone was like, what? Oh, that's an error. Sorry about that. Oh, come on. I hate that crap.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you they didn't expect the blowback they got.
No.
You know, it was funny. Tyler and I were talking about it yesterday. He's like, well, I wasn't trying to. I'm like, no, I get it. You know, you put it out for everybody to see. He was a little angry. It was very mixed reactions from the fan base. Some people cared a lot. Some people didn't care at all. I'm definitely on the I don't care at all spectrum of things. But, I mean, that's also just how I view life. I don't really take a lot of this seriously. You know, you can't. I just can't. I wouldn't be able to get through my days if I got angry about a merch stand at Oracle Park, which is 1,000 miles away from me. So. Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Right. I can't get off my lawn anymore. So, you know, I mean, it happens. It does. Mistakes, quote unquote, happen. And,
right,
you know, I don't blame anybody, but I guarantee it won't happen again next year. It will not happen. Now, no. I did hear that when the Yankees come to town and the Red Sox come to town, they do sell that gear at the park. So they're more likely to do it for teams and franchises that are iconic but don't come here as often. So I totally get that. I
kind of understand that. I do. I wouldn't be too upset about that. Like, next year the Red Sox visit, and I think the Giants open up in Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
So that's why Aaron Judge will be great, you know, revisiting Yankee Stadium in black and white.
That'll be so fun. He'll get such an ovation when he takes his first at bat in a Giants uniform by those Yankees fans.
Oh,
my
God. I can't wait. Speaking of Aaron Judge, I have it in the show notes here. Hey, look, we don't usually talk about around the league, and I think Eric and I and Willie, if he can make it, are going to start talking about this over the next couple of weeks because, of course, the pennant races are, you know, heating up here. We only have 2+ weeks left in the season. We have some good races going on. We'll revisit those next week. But as far as personal achievements, we do have a notable one. And unless you've been under a rock, Aaron Judge, of course, hit 58 and 59 yesterday. And now he's sitting too shy of the American League record with, like, you know, whatever, 16 games to play or something like that. So at first, I didn't think he was going to get it. It seems like most of these record chasers tend to peter out. But not Aaron Judge. He's keeping it going, and so he's well on pace to finish with like 63 or 64. But I don't know. I mean, I like the guy. I don't think he's taking, you know, PEDs. He seems pretty legit and a focused and amazing baseball player. So I would love to see it. I don't know about you. Would you like to see him hit 62?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I get a kick out of it more than anything because all these blowhards, all these holier-than-thou baseball fans are out there saying, well, he's going to set the new real home run record because all the other guys that hit over 60 were on steroids and this is the way to do it. F that. Can we just appreciate what he's doing? He's going to set – I mean, can you imagine having to hit 62 home runs just to set a team record? Just to set a team record.
Yeah.
Not even the American League record. He's on the same team as Roger Maris was on. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. And here we are 61 years later. And he's gonna do it. I'm excited to watch him do it. He hit 5 balls over 105 miles an hour in a game the other day.
Yes, I saw that. Oh my God. It was like 2 bombs, 2 doubles, and a single or something like that, or an out. Yeah. I don't know.
It might have been 110. I might have read it wrong and forgot it wrong. But that's ridiculous. I mean, how can you not just revel in the greatness? And this brings up the MVP debate. Shohei Ohtani has had a great year. Very much like last year. He's dominated on the mound. He's hitting the hell out of the ball. He's like third in homers himself. That's the other thing. Schwarber is second in homers in the entire major leagues, and Judge is 20 more than him.
Yeah,
Judge has as many home runs more than him that the Giants leader has. Still, can you believe that?
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. It's pretty disgusting. It is,
but still, you know, Shohei. I understand he's had a great year. He has, but Aaron Judge is doing something historic this year. And I get that Shohei is doing different things than we've never seen before in baseball, but that doesn't mean he has to get the MVP every year. Michael Jordan did not win the MVP every year. He totally got robbed in 93 by Barkley. Willie Mays did not win the MVP every year. Barry Bonds did not win the MVP every year. So Shohei, I don't think will win it this year because of Judge's narrative. Narrative matters. And the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, and the Angels are stuck in the basement.
Yeah.
But that's the weird thing about it. Judge took off in the second half. At the same time, the Yankees have slowly declined.
Yeah, that's a really weird, like, anti-parallel. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
Right.
But
you'd think he'd be, yeah, knocking in five runs a game and setting them up for failure. But it's fun to watch. Like, tonight's game, is it tonight? No, next Sunday is on ESPN. But we're going to start having cut-ins. There's going to start being Yankee games on MLB Network more, ESPN, maybe even Fox picking up an extra one. If you remember in 98, Fox picked up the Cardinals-Cubs and got McGuire's 60-second home run live. I believe it was a Tuesday night against the Cubs off Steve Traxel. I'll never forget that night because it was the shortest home run McGuire hit all season.
Yes.
It was like that line drive.
The wall scraper. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like barely out of the box. He's like, oh, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. And back then we didn't have, you know, Twitter to turn to, Facebook, nope. And all these YouTube, all these streaming services. So that was the only way to watch such a thing at that time. You know, you couldn't just pop on MLB TV. So they're going to try to do that again. I think they want to recreate the feeling of a home run chase. And it is, like you said, he's chasing the American League record. He will get there and he will demolish it. I'm hoping he gets up towards 65, 66. I think that would be cool. But yeah, that's really difficult to do with 16 games left.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you see, you know, pretty much simps on both sides, the Ohtani and the Judge. And, you know, it's crazy to me, and I can't give you my final opinion on this right now because I guess I'll wait to see what happens in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Aaron Judge is obviously having one of the most impressive offensive seasons. He's like 1 point in batting average away from leading in the Triple Crown, right? So he's close to being in the Triple Crown race. And that in itself usually guarantees an MVP, right? Especially because he's on a playoff team. Shohei Ohtani, though, granted, he's on a crappy team, and it's really hard to win MVP on a crappy team. It does happen. You know, it's happened with, like, Mike Trout in the past and other guys. But what he's doing is just unlike any other. I mean, just unlike any other. He's fourth in home runs, right? Fourth? Sorry, I had it up here. He's fourth in home runs with 34. And then in ERA, I think he's third or fourth right now, which is just insane. And he's like 22nd innings pitch, so it's not like he's just barely pitching, right?
Yeah. Let
me bring it up here. Fifth in ERA. 2.43, though. Like, that's just a ridiculous number. I mean, 2.43 for a guy who's also hit 34 bombs. His whip is just over one. He's third in strikeouts with 196. I mean, the guy is doing things that even Babe Ruth didn't do, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what's so incredible about it. So most valuable player is a different definition for everyone, and people will argue that till the cows come home, and I get it. But it's just really hard to deny what Shohei is doing. It really is. So for me, I would have to flip a coin between the two. If, you know, Aaron Judge finishes with those 65, gets the Triple Crown, you know, the Yankees are in the playoffs, which could all happen. It is hard to say no to him too. You know what I mean? Like, because then you might go, well, if Shohei has a pretty good year on both sides of the mound every year, well, then he's just guaranteed to win the MVP every year. And it's like, well, I get that argument too, the anti-argument. So, you know, it's pretty crazy though.
I simp for Judge. I am 100% simping for Judge. I'm all in on his corner. I really am. He deserves it this year. Most valuable player to me. This is where the debate comes in. Is it the most valuable player on the best team? Is it the most outstanding player?
Yep.
You know, the way to fix this is to do like what football does and have offensive and defensive player of the year as well as MVP. Now, baseball can't do it like that already. We already have a Cy Young and an MVP, but they could add a new award, most outstanding player of the year. And that could be all because of Shohei created, in essence. Because, like, you know, whoever wins the MVP generally wins Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL. Sometimes, though, they'll, like, give it to a running back because, you know, Aaron Rodgers won the MVP. So let's give Adrian Peterson, bad example, the Offensive Player of the Year. You know, that's what they do sometimes. Right. So I think that's the only way to really get around this, because if Shohei does this year after year after year, we're going to get desensitized in a sense.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, okay, this is what he does. You know, who else is having a great year? And that's why we'll look for stuff. But this year, I absolutely simp for Judge. I love the narrative. I love the fact that he's going off like he is. And, I mean, forget the fact that I want him to sign with the Giants in the offseason. It's just amazing to see what he's doing. I can't hate the Yankees as much as I used to. You know, when you watch a guy like Aaron Judge at the plate, you just can't help but get excited and enjoy it. You really can't. Yeah. It's just fun baseball.
Yeah, Judge is leading in WAR, even over Ohtani, despite his pitching.
He's over 10 now, right?
He's 9.6 right now. Ohtani's 8.7 at number two. But obviously, he leads in home runs and RBI, but he's 1 point off of Arias in Minnesota, who's got 317. And Bogarts is also hitting 316. Judge is hitting 316. So it's those three right at the top. So he really is. I mean, he could win the Triple Crown, which is pretty insane. Like, how can you not be the MVP if you win the Triple Crown and you set the AL record in home runs, if he does that, presumably? That's
Mark McGwire didn't win the MVP in 1998, and he set the home run record. So
true. That's true.
Yeah, Sammy Sosa won it that year because the Cubs made the playoffs and the Cardinals didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think was the difference.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting as that goes down to the wire. But yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Judge. I think he's a good guy. And, you know, look, you know, he's already escalated his contract potential to stratospheric levels. So him hitting 60 to 65 isn't going to change that number tremendously. He's already there. But holy crap, the Giants, because again, we talked about this last week, they always seem to be the bridesmaid, you know. They're always like one of the last two, three, four teams. And they go like, yeah, here's the third best offer. Oh, we tried. Sorry, guys. It always just seems like the Giants give the appearance like, yeah, we're serious, guys. We're totally serious. And then they're turning around going, nah, we weren't serious. We knew we were going to be overbid. We just wanted to make a showing, you know. I don't want that to happen this time. But to secure that, I mean, come on. They have – numbers are stupid. I mean, we're talking at least $40 million a year. At least. So – and probably most certainly more than 5 years, you know? So we're talking a minimum of $250 million contract, but we're also talking about guys like Juan Soto, who turned down over $400 million from the Nationals. That is stupid. And speaking of which, oh my God, does he suck with the Padres?
Yeah.
He has been horrific with the Padres. JD Davis has done better than him by a margin, like a large margin. So
Juan Soto is the Darren Ruff of the major trade market.
Yeah, seriously. And Josh Bell is also hitting around 200 with the Padres since he joined. So it's not working out the best for them. But so we'll stay on top of that, of course, through the offseason.
Wow, you're not kidding. Look at that.
Yeah, he's not doing
JD
well.
Has more homers than he does. Look at that.
I think JD has 5 with the Giants, and I think he has 3.
Four.
Oh, it's 4 now? He must have hit one over the weekend.
I see 4 on Okay. He did. He hit one over the weekend. I remember
seeing
that.
Okay, so he's up to 4. But yeah, that's not what the Padres expected at all. They expected a lot more out of him. Our normal section of who's hot, there's no one. I looked it up. There's literally no one. So I don't know what to tell you guys. The only one I could come up with was just who we mentioned, JD Davis. He was the only one to hit over 300 for the last week. 364, he was 4 for 11. Everyone else, except for Tyra, who hit 231, was under 200. So it was a bad week for the Giants, for sure. Not very good. You know, Carlos Rodon is still doing well. There's no doubt about that.
Logan Webb pulled him out of the game. Like, he pitched 4 innings or something, and they pulled him out. Webb the other day, same thing happened.
Yeah, he had 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run not earned, and 1 walk, 8 strikeouts over 5. Boom, pulled. I don't know. it's just like, let him go now. You're not going to sign him next year.
Right. That's where my head's at. I mean, Rodon is not coming back. He's going to make $28 million somewhere else next year because he definitely made himself more money this year. So let him pitch. Alex Wood, though, was shut down for the year.
Yes.
So we'll probably see Sean Jelly starting again. I know he had a rough go of it the other day. But I'm pretty sure we talked about this last week. We want to see some of these other guys get some cracks at it. And Jelly is high on my list. So I'd love to see him because he pitched great against Milwaukee and then he didn't pitch so well last week. So we'll see how he comes up next week. And, you know, Wood being shut down for the season, that gives him the opportunity to do that. You know,
yeah,
we talked about it back in the day when you could expand to 40. It was a lot easier to do this. I mean, Ramos was up this weekend. The Giants are constantly still making move after move after move right now. And, I mean, we talked about it briefly. Willie Calhoun, the guy just got with the Giants. He got traded for Steven Duggar. He got his first hit as a Giant the other day. And then they cut him to pick up finger blister. Thanks, Bob. I
do remember hearing that on KMBR because I wasn't watching the game. So thanks for that refresher, yeah. Bob. Yeah, that's right. He had an issue on a hot spot on his finger coming up. So that makes sense.
That's right. Yeah, but like, you know, you look at that stuff. Everybody's just turning through again. They're just running the back end of the roster. It's no different than the rest of the year.
Yeah, the Sean Jelly. Of course, we wanted to see him. We talked about it last week. Well, we saw him. He came in after the opener, after Brebbia went, and unfortunately gave up 5 straight singles and a bomb. He had 1 inning, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 bomb, 1 walk, and no strikeouts. So. His ERA for the year jumped up to over 9. Again, small sample size. I think he only has 6 innings on the year or whatever it is. So, you know, he still got good stuff. In the post game, he just said he didn't have any command on his off speed, so he relied on his fastball, and he didn't have good command of that either. So it was just one of those dead arm days, and he said, you know, when you do that against the best team in baseball, they're going to make you pay, and they certainly did, was yep. his quote. So he recognizes it, and hopefully he'll come back, and we'll see some better stuff from him. But that was not good. That was not good at all. All right. So coming up, they got 4 against Colorado starting tonight in Coors Field, the House of Horrors, and then 3 in Arizona. So what do you expect this week? I mean, these are 2 teams that are, you know, below the Giants right now. But, of course, the Giants have a losing record against Arizona this year so far, which is crazy because they've just been dominating Arizona the last few years. So, I don't know. Arizona's been looking better until this last week or so. Colorado, in Colorado, you never know what you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get a 5-3 game or a 15-12 game. So, and they could easily, you know, get swept in Colorado. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, Colorado averages over 4 runs, 4.44 runs a game. The Giants are 4.32, which are some of the lowest in baseball. But they should be able to hit the ball. Not as bad as, like, Detroit at 3.3. But so I expect some runs. I do. I mean, the pitching isn't top shelf, really. I don't even know. It's a 4-game set, so we're going to see everybody pretty much. So you got to hope that the Giants pitchers can settle it down. But we're going to see runs. We're going to see half-filled stadiums. We're going to see not much. You know, I kind of want to ride it out. I'm just enjoying the fact that we have 16 games. Because when it's February and January, you're sitting there going, man, I miss having baseball every single day. And then as the Giants, you know, peter out of the race, it's kind of like, okay, I've lost interest for a little bit. But then that realization hits you in September. Oh, crap. I only have 16 games left, so I'm going to try to watch as many of these as I can. Like, I'm recapping tonight's game for Giants Chatter, so I definitely have to watch tonight's game. But, you know, other than that, it should be just – hopefully they'll hit the ball this week. Just hit the ball this week.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking to see them do. Don't bunt Jock Peterson with 2 runners on. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. So hopefully we see runs this week. I mean, like you said, they're in 2 hitters' parks. Even though Arizona is not as hitterish as it used to be – put some runs up. Show me something. Show me something. Just please. Show me you have a pulse. I mean, we were talking about this before the show. 62 different players have donned a Giants uniform this season. 62. I haven't looked it up. I'm pretty sure it's a record for them. I think last year was 59. So
let's see who can close. Hit. It's got to be close. Yeah. And like you said, if they were allowed the 40-man roster like several years ago, they'd be at like 80 right now.
Right. Knowing Farhan, absolutely.
Yeah, so no, it's crazy, you know, times. I I had that realization this morning too, Eric, because like I was out, you know, on a work trip all last week, wasn't able to watch too much Giants baseball, just recaps and stuff. It's kind of like, they're not doing well right now. Sometimes it's hard to watch. I watched the end of last night's game. But it is that realization of how much I miss baseball in the off season. And it's like kind of take advantage and realize what it is right now. Just enjoy it for what it is. There's no pressure on performance, you know, as a team. Right. Just want to see individuals and just enjoy the game itself, you know. Just enjoy the game and ride out these last 16 games and just see what happens. And maybe someone or the team itself can ride that into to next year. But all right.
Maybe they'll go 12-4. Who the hell knows?
Who knows? Could happen.
They won't.
They won't. all right. Well, that'll do it for episode 264 of the TorchCast. We'll be back next Monday. We usually go live on Facebook around noon, 12:15 Pacific. Today we had to go a little earlier because I had some work stuff. You can follow us collectively at TorchCast on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, where we do stream this podcast every time we record. You can also find everything at torturecast.com. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits with the number two for Eric, and at Willie Dills for the absent Willie. You can also email us at any time. This is actually how I got on the show 11 years ago. I emailed some audio segments called Out of Left Field to torturecast@gmail.com. So if you have any interesting anecdotes, recordings, anything you want to send our way to read on the air, please do so. We typically don't pimp that. We just kind of forget, but please do send it our way. And Eric, of course, you have Giants Chatter going on. So if you want to remind them about that.
Giants Chatter. Yeah. Giants Chatter group on Facebook. If you want to see fans who are not going to sugarcoat anything, head on over to Giants Chatter. I mean, we're not like all doom and gloom, but you know, we're not afraid to tell like it is and say things. And, you know, it's been a rough year. Giants Chatter is now in its second season, and our first season happened to be the 107 win season. So, like, nothing can top that. It's really hard to get to that point again. So, you know, we got some stuff in the works for the offseason. I'll definitely be hinting at that as we move forward here.
Like, instead of Giants Chatter, rename it Giants Therapy or something? I don't know.
GGC, GGT, Giants Group Therapy.
Yeah, there you go, Group Therapy. No, it's a great place to go and not get a bunch of trolls and people who don't.
There's a great article in Giants Chatter. If you follow Steven Rizzotto on Twitter or on Facebook or anywhere else, Steven went in a kayak when the Phillies were in town, and he went out in the bay in a kayak. He wrote a great article. I'll retweet it. About being in the kayak. It was just absolutely phenomenal. So if you get a chance, read that. Shout out to my buddy Steven Rizzotto because he did really good work on that one.
That's awesome. And I don't have the details right now. Maybe you'll remember, but I did see a tweet by Steven Rizzotto. He did play a little high school baseball. I think he was a pitcher or something. Him and what's his face from 97 The
Shasky.
Game? 95-7 The Game are going to be out at Balboa Park on Saturday, I want to say,
or maybe it's Sunday. Here, I'm getting it. I've been retweeting it because I can't make it, obviously. But Steven's a good buddy of mine, so I try. Oh, I had a lot of football tweets yesterday. Holy crap.
But the idea was,
I'm not getting to it fast enough.
Him and Joe are going to go out and play a pickup game of baseball, of hardball. And so I don't know what that format is going to be. I think it depends on how many people show up, but he's inviting anyone. Come on down, bring a glove, and let's play catch. Let's have a
Saturday,
catch.
September 24th at Balboa Park, 11 a.m. It's right next to the Balboa BART. They are going to play hardball, but it's not going to be competitive. So, you know, it's not like people are going to be stealing and doing crap like that. So if you just want to have a good time, it's Joe Shasky and Steven Rizzotto. They coach a team together. That's why they're the ones putting this up. And so it's presented by RizzoCast and Giants Chatter, apparently. Look at that. Oh. So, there you go. Balboa Park, Saturday, 11 a.m. if you want to play. And bring a glove because they don't have extras.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good, probably. And don't wear jeans either. So
no. Steven said he's going to wear shorts, so that tells you how competitive it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, if he's wearing shorts, yeah. Okay. Because right. I'd probably show up in my baseball pants. So.
Oh, I'd put on pants. You can't help but slide sometimes. It's just part of the game.
I know, right? Yeah. All right, well, that'll do it for episode 264. We will be back next Monday for episode 265 as the 2022 season winds down. We'll be there to console, to have a little therapy as a group, and to talk about the future of the Giants, talk a little playoffs as well. We don't stop recording when the playoffs start. We like to wrap up those weekly series, and we'll keep going into the hot stove season, which I think is going to be a huge offseason for the Giants. Campus. It has to be. It has to be. They cannot piddle around in this market this year. So we'll get to all that stuff as the months roll on. Until next Monday, for Eric, this is Chad signing off. We'll see you next Monday. Until then, have a great week. My mouse isn't working. A boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.